you know, 21. That's a
yeah. He's in the right age.
He's trying
so much time to get into skincare. And...
Welcome to Spinsters, a podcast where we are tricking y'all. Today we have LaChyna Robinson on, a WNBA analyst and host of the podcast called Huge Fan, where she talks with celebrities about their sports fandom. We chat with LaChyna about WNBA playoffs and some recent NBA news that I'm a little sad about, but it's okay. Speaking of other NBA news, some NBA jerseys leaked, and you want to know why they suck? Check out an old Spinsters episode by Alex Wong, where we talk about NBA jerseys and why they could be way cooler. Before we get into today's episode with LaChyna, this episode is brought to you by doTERRA. doTERRA's deep blue stick provides targeted, natural, and reliable relief without synthetic ingredients. Learn more at doTERRA.com/spinsters. Wish your team could find some next level talent? When your business needs someone with the right skills fast, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at indeed.com/spinsters. Offer good for a limited time.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, and that's what I was thinking too about just like playing. I was thinking about WNBA players actually, just at a high level. Playing while cramping, and then if your whole team like sinks together, because that's also what happened, wonder if it's those that single elimination game from the playoffs last year. You guys are all synced, bad day, everybody's cramping, and you lose. Like, you should file to get a redo just for that reason alone. That doesn't
with Adam
seem
Silver
fair.
I want Adam Silver to have to take that meeting where we're like, have you ever considered that everyone might be on their period, Adam?
Or you're like, why is she throwing the ball at me so hard? You know, like all like the and then that carries over into the game. And it actually, to me, I feel like I played my best basketball like around that time of the month because I was just more aggressive.
Intense.
For some reason. Yeah. Imagine that.
I know, right? Just want to fight everybody, and then you just you feel better. You drop 30 on them.
Yeah.
I could see
that
too.
That does make sense. Harry, I promise this is the end of the period talk after this, but I have like a very, like a beta. You know how it's like, oh, when all these girls get together, blah, 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 they do sync up, but mine is never the alpha. So the other thing for me is like, if I'm going on a trip and I'm seeing my friends and one of them has their period, I'm getting my period. I'm just a little bitch beta period. Like, it's literally syncs with everyone. I just keep getting it. Yeah. That's my complaint right now. This is not scheduled. This is not in our regularly scheduled programming. Also, as Sierra just mentioned, in the newest Flagrant, Sylvia Fowles was interviewed for a piece about periods by Katie Heindel. I read that. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yes, everyone buy Flagrant.
She talks
okay.
about it.
Let's go to WNBA playoffs. Okay, so the semifinals are set. They kick off on Sunday, both games. And we talked about this last episode, but what are your thoughts on Aces Storm?
It's going to be a dog fight, man. It's going to be a dog fight. Like, this could be, you know, the best series I've covered in my time in media, you know, with the WNBA was by far Sparks Lynx, right? So 2016, 2017, everybody's glued in. You've got, you know, Maya and Sylvia and Candace and, you know, NECA. And it was just like this intense, and it was in the finals, right? So it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But this series could rival that in terms of the level of play, the excitement, the star power, the storylines. There's just there's so much. And I say that just coming off of having called the Washington Seattle series. And I was like, this is amazing. You know, yeah. Like with Elena Deladon putting on the performance she did in game one, you're just like, this is prime time back. Like, give me 7 games of this and I will be fat and happy and die. So I think it's going to be amazing. It'll go 5 for sure. There's a lot to unpack.
So definitely.
I love that with the Sparks and Link series, like there was a rival that came out of those. Like we looked forward to them matching up every year. And I hope that's what happens with this Seattle and Vegas. I think the Vegas team, if they stay together, they could be in this position for many more years. And I know Seattle team, I know Matt was talking about how Stewie might go to New York next year. He was starting those rumors. But if they stay together, like this could be a great rivalry that has number one picks, star power, all of it that I hope comes from this first one, because it's Sunday can't get here fast enough. I'm so excited.
I know. What do you guys think about the series? Who do you have coming out?
Well, I came out really bold and then immediately retracted, but I'm sticking with it. I just feel like it's going to be the Aces. I'm a really big Sue Bird fan. But I just feel like they have more upfront ability to dismantle a defense. And then we got on the podcast on Tuesday, and there were a million counters thrown at that I actually think made complete and total sense and are now in my notes app. So, and I've made some official bets that are against my informal podcast bet. So I'm divided. Instinct was Aces, but again, my instinct I think means little to nothing. So Jordan.
Well, okay. I'm also going Aces. Okay. I just believe it's their year. Like, it has to be their year. I said it before, I'll say it again. Whoever wins this series is gonna win the championship. I think that's clear. That's what I believe. And the way that Asia is playing, the way that Chelsea Gray is playing, Kelsey Plum, like we talk about how Connecticut isn't playing well at the right time. The Aces are playing amazing at the right time, and they have to keep it going. And I think they could. They have all the pieces. They have a belief system with Becky Hammon that it is powering them. Asia is my MVP. So I think that the Aces win it all and they win the series. I'm overconfident. I'm way overconfident in the Aces.
Yeah, right, but now you make me more confident. So I like hearing that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. You know, I think the thing that concerns me about Vegas was they kind of let Phoenix. I didn't like their defense against Phoenix in stretches. You know, like I would have been pleased had they come out and just, and God knows Phoenix has been through a lot, right? But like, just come out and boom, take them out of the misery, send them back to the desert. And it just took them a little while. And yeah, the score, you know, it was run up over time and they ended up winning big. But having watched this Seattle team up close and kind of now that they found their new chemistry with Gabby Williams hitting shots and, you know, Tina Charles starting to figure out and Jewel just going crazy. Like, let's not forget, Jewel just went crazy on this very Vegas team to end the season, as did Chelsea Gray, who was just nasty. Like, they both, like, Vegas's defense has to be locked in. That's my only concern. Because Seattle's defense definitely won them the Mystics series in stretches. Like, yeah, they had to hit shots and that was great too, but I saw them win games with their defense. So if they can rely on both ends of the floor and Vegas doesn't like really keep their defense consistently high, they could be in trouble. I do believe that, because Seattle, their ability to like put so much pressure on you with the way they run their offense, with their screening action and how well they move. And I mean, it's going to be nothing like what we saw from Phoenix, which just kind of sweep and go. Let's get to the rim, set a little screen, boom, boom, like easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Seattle's like screen, back screen, slip, read, cut, duck, you know, gotta be sharp.
Do you think it was Vegas's empathy for everything that the Phoenix has gone through? And that's why they were like, you know, we'll just wait till the second half. They've been through enough. We don't want to embarrass them right away.
You know, that would be admirable if that was the case. I think I would accept that as an excuse. So I'm open to the possibility.
I like that, Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah. Same. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we will talk about Chet and about Patrick Beverly.
I love how I feel after a good workout. I feel strong, confident, and motivated. But your girl ain't young anymore. Those sore joints and muscles sometimes weigh me down and keep me from reaching my fitness goals. That's why I use the doTERRA Deep Blue Stick. It provides targeted, natural, and reliable relief without synthetic ingredients. Learn more at doTERRA.com/finsters. That's doTERRA.com/finsters. Wish your team could find some next level talent? When your business needs someone with the right skills fast, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is it makes hiring easy, all in one place. For example, the assessments. Indeed helps star applicants to shine with over 135 assessment tests, from cooking all the way to coding. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at Indeed.com/spinsters. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/spinsters. Indeed.com/spinsters. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we're back. I'm just going to read this from ESPN. This is about Chet. Oklahoma City Thunder rookie Chet Holmgren will miss the 2022-2023 season because of a Lisfranc injury to his right foot, the team announced Thursday. Holmgren, the number 2 pick in the NBA draft, suffered the injury early in the crossover pro-am event while defending LeBron on a fast break. There's actually a video if you go online and want to see it. A little Googling will tell you that the Lisfranc joint is the spot right on top of your foot where the metatarsal bones, which are the bridges that connect to your toes, connect to the rest of your foot. So this is a complicated area of your foot. That's a direct quote from Cleveland Clinic, which is the first one that popped up when I Googled it. But it says that there are many bones, ligaments, and tendons all coming together right in this area. And it is a messy thing to hurt athletic history-wise. But all of the ones that I can remember were actually football players. This is what Le'Veon Bell injured in 2013. Julio Jones. The good news is those are the first two that came to mind, but those are also Julio had great seasons after this. Le'Veon obviously recovered from it. But if you look overall, the recoveries from this injury are actually pretty sad, and those are kind of more of exceptions. I wouldn't say it's a rule that you don't do well after injuring something like this, but when we even flip it back to basketball and go more general about the foot, the taller you are and your foot being injured, it just is kind of enters into like a dangerous zone. However, typically that's because we think of guys like Joel, who have larger physical frames, and the entire, if you want to say quote unquote issue, let's just say debate with Chet is that he is actually quite small in frame. So I don't know how to feel about any of that. Obviously, I just Googled and Cleveland Clinic's, you know, supplied that. I'm not going to pretend to anticipate how he's going to recover. But what we do know is he ruptured his tendon. It was not a fracture. He's going to miss the entire season and he's going to have surgery. That's where my knowledge runs out, but rupture does sound worse than fracture. Rupture sounds a little bit too much like rapture, And anytime we get close to biblical, I'm like, that's a bad injury. So I feel really, really, really horrible for Chet. I don't necessarily feel as horrible for the Thunder. I feel like they're trying, they've been trying the last 2 years on purpose to be like really, really slow down everything. And I don't even think that this is the year Sam Presti wanted to like fully unleash everybody. But I feel awful for Chet. I feel awful for SGA. This year kind of feels like it's going to be another more of the same for them. So hopefully Chet just, the good news is it seems like he's going to get a lot of time to recover because they are the Sixers in 2000. What year would this be for them? 13?
A number of them.
Yeah.
Right. But no, but without the threat of Colangelo coming in, like people are happy with the Thunder doing this. So, or the league, it seems like it's fine. So that's my research.
Great research. I was trying to Google his shoe size to kind of give a depiction of like, because I look at my foot and I'm like, that's not a lot of space for something to happen. But I guess for his, it's not. My question is this going to shut down NBA players playing in pro-am leagues in the summer?
Might. A lot of the reports were like, you almost could see the reporter being fed this information from the league, because a lot of the reports were like, this had nothing to do with the conditions of the court. And you're like, what? I didn't even ask about that. And then you Google the conditions of the court, and it turns out that they had to stop the game because it was so wet. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, look, the thing is, what you see in these reports are you see the game, then you see the conditions of the game, which they're claiming have nothing to do with it, but apparently weren't the best, right? You wouldn't play pickup on a slippery court. And then the other half of it is they point out how much insurance the team gets for this. When a player like this misses this much of the season, they get 80% insurance back on him. So he, because it's pro-am, which is NBA, endorse isn't the right word, but like it's under the umbrella, I guess is a good way to say it, or the extension, he'll still get paid all of his money. It's not like he, you know, bold or whatever, and has something that happened outside of it. But the team also gets insurance back. So that's kind of also indicates how serious this is. But like you said, Jordan, I don't know, because people are being extremely, like a little bit weirdly proactive, saying, no, it wasn't the court's fault. Okay, well, he was still playing in what is essentially an extracurricular. And it's so serious that the team has insurance on something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe Kevin Durant had a Liz Frank injury, if I'm not mistaken. And I also know that Alicia Clark, that's the injury she just had, who returned to the Washington Mystics. So I know a couple of players. Obviously, KD turned out okay. I don't know if his was a rupture or a fracture. Is that popping up?
It is, yeah. It looks like his was a fracture just from the – I'm going to read more, but
– yeah, because I believe sometimes a fracture is better than a rupture, only because it's like the clean break makes it a little bit easier to repair. Mm. But I don't know. Trust me, I have no medical background whatsoever.
Less biblical.
Yeah, but
– sounds less biblical. It's better. Yeah.
But it has to be encouraging, at least, that, you know, KD had an injury to this specific part of the body, even though every injury is different. Kevin is obviously also pretty much a 7-footer, similar frame, you know, thin frame. You know, I would hope that they would call whoever repaired his up for Chet to kind of see how that went. But I do think that, you know, the pro-am thing is so cool. Like, I would hate that if
I know
they started to take that away. I mean, what they should do, in all honesty, is, hey, let's put some money into making sure these facilities are ready for this opportunity. Like, I was in Seattle that day and actually at that venue, because what they failed to tell us was that the Storm and the Mystics were practicing on a court in the basement where this pro-am event was happening upstairs. Oh
my God.
So we pull up and there are so many people, crowds, police, everything. And I'm like, oh, great. All this is here to see Stewie practice, like in Deladon. not quite. And so it was crazy. But the community, the impact that those games have on the community when those guys come through is like, you know, we all know that in underserved neighborhoods, many of those kids will never have a ticket to go watch LeBron play, you know, and just to have that chance and have him come there and just bring that type of energy and that experience, like that's something that's needed. That's old Rucker Park. Like, you know, like those are, we had Roz sitting there who's from New York. So we had Roz, Epiphany Prince. I think Epiphany may be from Roz, I think is from Queens. I think Tina's from Queens. Sue is from Syosset, but thinks she's from Queens. And I think Epiphany is from maybe from Brooklyn. So they're all like, are y'all going to the, they're all pumped because they're like, this is what we do in our neighborhoods. Like, this is old Rucker Park. Like, this is what, you know, this is what it's about. And they're all pumped and excited. Kind of took them back to their experiences in New York. And I love that environment. I think it's so cool when that happens. And I hope that instead of taking it away, they just find a better way to have it so that, you know, the courts or facilities, like, come in and upgrade the facility. That would be great for the community, you know, like NBA, come by and throw some money into this community for these guys to come and play so it's more safe. And then everybody wins because when they leave, we got a better gym.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they were saying too, for specifically for Seattle, because a lot of people were like, you know, we don't have an NBA team out here. You're going to be able to see how the appetite for basketball, and this was like the arena to do that. And I think that's where, you know, the crossover event was kind of like, okay, we're going to put it on. We're going to show Seattle basketball. This is what it is. And then for it to be cut short because of a court issue, because of, and then it's like water on the court. I don't even know if it was raining. Probably it was Seattle. It's raining all the time. But that was kind of broke my heart, because I was like, man, this could have showed all of those kids that were sleeping overnight to see their favorite NBA players come. Mm-hmm. This could have showed off like how much Seattle loves their basketball. We see it in the W all the time because the Storm Arena is always packed and they love their Sue Bird. But from an NBA standpoint, they were hoping that this could be their chance. And if they would have been able to throw some money at it or have it in a really sophisticated arena or still not charging anything, that could have showed it off. But it's kind of, it's a bummer. In LA, we have the Drew League. It's the best. It's what people look forward to every single summer. Like, it is the best thing to go to and experience. So to take NBA players out of that, I don't even know what, the city might riot. Like, we would be so upset. We love our basketball. We love our Drew League. So I hope it doesn't get taken away too.
Yeah, we have AEBL, I think is the name of it here in Atlanta, which is another like pro-am league. And Kyrie Irving was here last summer and like some guys, you know, Lou Will, of course, ATL, Lemon Pepper Wings. he'll come, you know, play in that league as well. So yeah, you hope it doesn't change. But if they need to see the appetite, Climate Pledge Arena was rocking. Like, that place was on fire. So that's all you need to see. Basketball is basketball.
Right. Or just look at the Reddit threads. People are still, you know what I mean? People have still not stopped talking about the team since it left. But yeah, that's, you're so right, because my first instinct is like, why are you putting players in a bad position? But the instinct should be like, this is a good thing. Yeah. You see the benefit in it. Do it with something that's good for two parties and make this an extremely hospitable place for players to get a game in, get a tournament in, and then leave it for the community. There you go. Check, check. So yeah, that definitely, I hope, and you know, this has happened before. They're just playing basketball. So it's not like you can't protect them. You can't bubble wrap them in the off season. This is a good thing. It's basketball. Yeah. They're not, you know, all of a sudden like playing charity football games, you know, that are like NFL level contact. But I do think you need to mitigate the risk.
Yeah.
You know, just don't make the court wet. That's not too much to ask.
Don't. Can we say this too?
Mm-hmm.
Chet, why are you trying to defend LeBron on the break?
Yeah.
Like no one does that. Like everyone knows you're going to get hurt. You're either going to get hurt because obviously I don't know. I didn't see exactly what happened with him, but you know, you're going to get your feelings hurt, your body hurt. Something's going to get hurt.
Something's
going
to get hurt. Yeah.
You know, like
just move out the way.
Yeah. Just leave. When Bron comes through, just let him.
Whew, you know, the other thing I was like, well, kind of like the best possible way, like at least you weren't, it wasn't guarding a player that it doesn't appear to be contact. I'll send you guys a video. At least it's like, you know, LeBron, you can say your first injury kind of came from LeBron, but yeah, I know what you mean.
That's true.
The other thing about these kind of events is that I have said it before, I love crossover content. The Disney Channel stuff from when we were younger, Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, when they would go to That's So Raven. I always love crossover content. If the All-Star Game was just a little bit better, it would be my favorite night of the year. To see these players just interacting in a way that is not the way we usually see them, because there is a clip of Chet and LeBron laughing before this happened. And I was like, oh, that's just cool. Like, that must be so cool for Chet. Yeah. To be able to do, and that's cool for people to witness in the stands. Like, you have that story always of what happened at these games, that isn't necessarily like something you can find on YouTube. And yeah, like it just adds to the myth building. So in it are inherently so many good things, but you just have to make this an environment where you're protecting your players
for sure.
So yeah,
yeah. I want to zone in a little bit more on the actual block, because, Legina, I was thinking the same thing.
You want me to send it to you guys?
I found myself, yeah, as you send it, I found myself feeling bad for Chet, right? Because you're a 19-year-old kid. LeBron James is going for a layup or whatever. It's a turnover. It's a quick play. The general unwritten rule of these pro-am games is, like, you just let him dunk it. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're nobody, let's not, you know, but he went and tried to challenge him. Like he sprinted to get into place. Yeah.
Okay, hang on, I'll send it to you.
And
oh no.
It's one of those, and at first you're like, don't do that. Why would you what are you doing? It's you're not only are you breaking an unwritten rule, but you're going up against the most athletic person on the planet and you are a string bean. But then I started thinking, it's like, you're 19. You are unproven. Everybody thinks that you're this soft, fake shot blocker that only worked in college and your shit's not going to fly in the NBA. You're telling me that the first time you can contest an NBA player, you're going to let him dunk it? Like, I sort of see that that's you're in a tricky spot there. And
that's a really good point.
He picked wrong, clearly, but I'm empathetic. Like, that sucks, you know?
No, it's so true, because when it was rumored that he was going number one, everyone was like, this man is so fucking skinny. Like, yeah. That's all they could say. Like, and basically just implying all of this weakness on him, that he would never be powerful, he would never be deserving of that spot. Like, don't make a mistake, it's looking you right in the eye. So, yeah, if you're feeling like everyone is calling you weak, and it's not just fans of whatever teams are drafting him, the actual teams, like, he was chosen second overall. So you have to pick A, that you deserve it, B, that everyone should have wanted you in the first place. I get it. I get when you say it like that, I totally get it. But I do think that there was probably a freeze frame where he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove it. And then he's like in the air, and like the higher he's getting, he's like, oh, what the fuck did I do? You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I just watched it. And Harry, I think, the key, like, you started off strong until you hit the stretch and you said, the first chance that he gets to block an NBA player, it wasn't an NBA player. It was the king.
Yeah.
It's not just any. And I think time and place, like, this is a pro-am still.
Yeah.
We're not trying to do this. This could have been, even if he did block him, it's like, oh, it's a pro-am. Like, if you're a LeBron fan, you're like, ah, he wasn't really going that hard. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I think, too, just as much as people were saying it wasn't the court, so many reports I saw, it wasn't his frame. It wasn't because of how skinny he was that this injury happened. Just want to throw that out there, because that's what we talk about when we think of Chet all the time.
Yeah, we don't know. Like, the thing is, we don't we don't know. We genuinely don't know. None of us could say, like, if there's a little bit of condensation on a court, even an NBA court, they're so vigilant about it. They literally have people assigned with towels who risk their lives getting on the court hoping there's not a fast break, because the slightest chance of condensation, anything, could create an injury. So like you're saying, we don't know that. We don't know what particularly could happen in his body. Like, you know, we feel injuries all the time, and the only person who feels it is us. So I, that's a great point too, Jordan.
But he does look like, he does look like he, I just watched it, and it does look like Bron bodied him. And he landed awkwardly because Bron bodied him. I'm just, that's just on observation, but I digress. No,
the other thing that, the other, Jordan's like, the other thing that we, when we say protect your players, like make sure these courts are good, this is a great thing for the community, all of those things. The other thing you have to do to protect your player is sit down with these younger players who might have that inclination to prove something. Because if you're a coaching staff, you've either been there before or you've seen it before. Mm-hmm. Sit them down. Say, you will be on 82, God willing, televised games. You know, even if it's League Pass, you will have your chance. This is for fun. Because there's always that guy. And when you're the younger person who has been, you know, doubted or analyzed just because of your body, how you look, etc., you're going to want to prove it. He is 19 years old?
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, part of the other preparation should be sitting them down and being like, don't look, there's going to be a moment where LeBron James gets the ball and runs out ahead of everyone else.
Don't
follow him.
Don't do it. Yeah. Who needs to prove it is the normal guys, the guys who work in 9-to-5 jobs that get to go against LeBron James on their off day and they can say that they scored on LeBron James or they blocked LeBron James. That's who's going to relive the highlight over and over and can tell everybody. Chet, you will have other times. You're going to play LeBron multiple times. You've already made it. But the normal guys that are like, this is my chance. I'm going to be able to show why I'm great. You can try to prove it. Don't get hurt. No one
that normal guy tore his Achilles just sprinting down to try to defend LeBron. So he has no shot.
No shot.
Zero. Oh my god. Yeah. Listen, the
OKC drafts Bronny Jr. in 2 years, you're gonna be able to play with Bron every year.
There you go.
Right. Be warming up with him.
There you go.
That's a part of the plan. They're tanking. There was this whole elaborate scheme.
Yeah.
Who was that? Who's that player years ago? I think played for the Seahawks, but it might have been against the Seahawks. It was Patriots Seahawks, and he like worked at a Foot Locker.
I don't know anything about football.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? Me either.
Okay, there's a Malcolm in there, but I don't know if it's the last name, the first name, something. It'll come to me. This happens. This is like the cramps randomly. I'll remember. But that's the kind of person who should be going up for that block, to your point, Jordan. It's the guy who's like, I am at Foot Locker.
Chris Matthews?
No, I
Super Bowl 2015, how Seattle's Chris Matthews went from working at Foot Locker to playing in a big game.
I doubt there's two of them. It's Chris Matthews.
Yeah. Foot Locker is actually a breeding ground for NFL players.
No, they literally. There,
they go there to train.
Anyway, that's the kind of person who can jump. Everyone else, yes, do not jump. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about Jordan Liggins' Los Angeles Lakers and their decision making.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we'll make this quick. So I have a little... Oh, I got a little excerpt for this too, so I'll just read this off. Okay, the Los Angeles Lakers have finalized a trade to acquire Utah Jazz guard Patrick Beverley. That is interesting because that's the first time I've read Utah Jazz guard.
Yeah, it wasn't even
in his trade announcement. That's not even a cup of coffee. The deal completed Thursday morning sends Lakers guard THT and forward Stanley Johnson to the Jazz. So now, like we just mentioned, Patrick Beverley has already been traded once this summer from the Wolves to the Jazz in the Rudy Gobert deal. Obviously did not play a game with the Jazz, but even having been with the Wolves only 1 year, now I'm slowly starting to think of him as a journeyman in the league, which is interesting because he really did have two super solid stints with teams before that. He's extremely loyal or comes off like a loyal, dedicated to the team kind of guy. So it's just interesting that this is becoming his career trajectory, but maybe he will have found a home in the other LA team. I don't know that no one's found a home on the Lakers so far, to be honest. I want to bring up two things before I let you get your feelings out. Jordan, and your thoughts, Alachina. Let's not forget the Lakers refused to include THT in trade talks for Kyle Lowry. Yes. Like, let's not forget that for 1 second. They were like, he cannot be included. Just a year later, they're trading him for Patrick Beverley. The second thing is four words that I want to re-enter into the lexicon, which is Pat Bev trick, y'all. Because now he's teammates with Russell Westbrook, and this is, for once, sometimes the NBA can be so predictable, even though we pretend it's not, and we get on Twitter and we're like, the NBA is so crazy, but it's like, yeah, a trade happened and that trade kind of makes sense, you know, whatever. This is actually something where I'm like, wow, I'm surprised. I don't know what's gonna happen, and I'm excited about it. Are you excited, Jordan?
You know, when this news came out, I immediately was selfish and thought, I have to root for Patrick Beverley. That is my reality. That is my future. That's what has to happen. And then I thought about what my fiance said when Patrick Beverley was on his stint of, now he was this commentator and this knowledgeable person that everybody was going to. He was talking trash on every team. My fiance was like, you know, he doesn't have a secure job. He might end up on one of these teams. And look who it is. It is the Los Angeles Lakers, which he said in May, that if we had him on the team, then we would go to the conference finals because we don't have a leader. No shade at LeBron, but we don't have a leader. So there's so many layers there. There's the fight that's going to happen between Russell Westbrook and him the first day just to get it out. They're just going to have to fight it out one good time. And then hopefully we'll be good from then on. It's him saying LeBron is not a leader and that he's going to call him out on the defensive end. The positive side is that we didn't have anyone on the defensive end to really be like, we're going to get a stop right now. Like, our defense was bad, and we know that. So I can see where he can help us, and I can see that, you know, the new Lakers coach is trying to have Westbrook transition into that role as well, of, like, you be the energizer, you be the defender, the lockdown. Just seeing him in a Lakers jersey makes me a little uneasy. That's all I'm going to say. But hopefully it grows on me. I can't believe this is real. I can't believe he's a Laker.
Oh. What about you, LaShina?
I think the thing that surprised me was that I can't imagine wanting to be a teammate with a guy that talks that much trash. You just know that his karma is not good, right? Like, we already got a lot.
Coming.
We already got a lot going on. And there's some hits coming Pat Bev's way, because he has done nothing but tweet about people and get on shows and talk trash all off season. So that was really my initial reaction, was kind of like the Lakers kind of legacy and Pat Bev don't seem like they mix, because to me, he's kind of like a trash talker that's looking to stir things up. And like, here's the thing you don't want as a player. You don't want to play with that guy that, because he's been running his mouth nonstop about the team you're about to play, they want to plug you like from end to end for the entire game. Like, they can't wait to railroad you because this guy has been talking so much. Like, we have extra motivation every time we play because of him. I don't want that. I don't want that on my shoulders. And not that that was going to make the Lakers any better or worse or whatever. And I don't know as much about the NBA, quite honestly, but I just don't want that guy on my team. Mm-hmm. Like, take that somewhere else.
That's so true. And I feel like the Lakers already have that anyway. People always try to do that because it's the Lakers. They are always trying to play their best, and now it just adds on it. We're not good enough for people's best every night. We need some nights off where we could actually win. But Pat Bev makes that worse. That's a great point.
No nights off with Pat Bev, because folks got a list. They're like, listen, Pat Bev, we got to take him down. Like, and the Lakers got to go with him.
Yeah, the Lakers are definitely also bring that out of people. Like, we need to play better playing against the Lakers. We need to play our best. The other person who brings it out of them is Russell Westbrook. But I actually think there's a couple silver linings here. One of the people who really had it out for Russ is Patrick Beverley. They were so now you've kind of neutralized one of those aggressors. I also will say that, having seen the Lakers multiple times in person last season, once or twice with you, Jordan, seeing games in person is so much fun, but really so informing, because when a team is really humming, I almost feel like you can feel something different than what you see on TV. But it's especially apparent when a team is bad. Because you cannot change the channel. You can't go change into your sweats. You're uncomfortable. You're like, why do I wear these pants? These jeans are too tight. This pretzel doesn't have enough salt on it. You are forced to confront how stinky this team is. And the Lakers' defense was so stinky. And I was just shocked every time I saw it. We saw them against the Bucks, was probably the worst one that I saw that season. Their inability to challenge or to hang isn't even the right word, because you would say they can't hang defensively if for a couple seconds they would, but the Lakers were so disorganized in a way where it was almost like they weren't even prepared to fall off. They need someone like Patrick Beverley. So I actually think this is good, because despite the conversation that Russ initiated when he tweeted that he tricks everybody into thinking he's a good defender, the thing that Patrick Beverley has is tenacity and the ability to be incredibly annoying. And those are actually very important in defense. And he also is a girl's girl. Like, him and Russ are girl's girls. They haven't been put in the best position in the last couple of years to see it, but like, they are people who love to be their teammates. Maybe not especially last year with the Lakers. Of course, there's some tension with Russ, and I do understand that, but take him out of that particularly pressurized environment and think about through the years. His teammates have loved being teammates with him, and it's the same with Patrick Beverley. There are certain people who you don't really like until they are on your team. And I think those are both them. Like, they get along with everybody over the arc of their career. I'm not going to say in recent history. I think that it could actually go super well. And the most important thing is that what Patrick Beverley brings is a real tangible improvement on both sides. Now, how is it going to work? I don't, all of those kinds of things and all of the past things that you could color this as a bad decision still, because why did the Lakers not just include THT in the, it's over. That's over. So looking right now in the future, you have actually got a tangible source on both defense and offense. Patrick Beverley is a fine catch and shoot attacker. Like he will bring something to them. And where the Lakers kind of mess up every season is that they bring in guys who you're like, but what is it going to do? You know, what are they actually going to bring? That's you true. Know what he's going to bring. You actually do. And it's actually something that you want. It's something that the Lakers desperately need. I think this is good. I just think it's also hysterical. They do need to fight. No, I've, you know, we see this. I watch TV. Men do this. Just go get in your fight and then get over it and be girls, girls. So I actually think it's good.
Yeah. Jordan, I know a lot of Wolves fans and they loved having Pat Bev on their team. I think he's one of those players. You hate him until he's on your team and then you like him.
I hope so. Last It'll thing okay. I'll say, the Sparks, it was rough. It was a rough year to be a Sparks fan. I was also at those games where I could not flip the channel or wish that it was better. It got really bad to worse. So my Lakers just got to get me something. They got to give me something because the Sparks were, they broke my heart. So that's all I hope. If he can get us better than last year or something to cheer about, I guess I'll cheer for him. It's going to be painful, but I guess I'll do it.
Well, what you hope he does is you hope he's so disruptive on defense that you are playing transition offense the whole game. Then you don't have to set up in the half court. You don't have to worry about, you know, Russ is not hitting, can't hit a shot. You know, Good you're point. Now playing a different pace of basketball that could lend in a style that could lend itself to more success for the Lakers on the offensive end. See, Jordan, I'm trying to.
Thank you.
Yeah, and no, I agree. The spark definitely went out. The spark is officially out.
It's singular. Dead. It went singular and it went out.
Spark is done.
It's the one spark.
Yeah.
No, but you're still right about the pace thing. And that's why I still, even at his worst, was like, no, I think Russ could actually turn into a good thing. But he just was not his productive, energetic self. But they do need movement. They need energy. And not an overall, I wouldn't call him an overall leader, but when you have a literal, spark. Like, they need that. That's exactly what they need, because you want them to be playing transition basketball. You don't want to give the time for them to set up and then realize that after passing it around the perimeter three times, holy shit, it's not going to end in anyone who can shoot. You don't want that. You want transition basketball, and he will help with that.
So what we're saying is, to bring it full circle, the Lakers will become the Connecticut Sun. And... Yeah. That Connecticut Sun are pretty deep in the playoffs right now, so I'll take it. Number three overall.
The Lakers could be so lucky to get it.
Yeah, literally.
That sounds about right.
That is what Patrick Beverley said. He said, if I was on the Lakers, we'd be in the semis, right?
True.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
The two quick things I want to add is, one, this is reminding me of Step Brothers, the movie. They get into the fight over the ketchup, whatever.
Oh,
that's
my
secret sauce. And then they realize that they're, you know, the same people, right? And end up carrying each other to new heights. So I think it's possible. Okay. We see a, you know, athletic feature about how Pat Bev and Westbrook actually like have a weekly meal together every the second thing is going in the opposite direction. Is this is going to happen. There are going to be articles written about how the analytics say that Pat Bev should be starting over Westbrook. That is like gonna happen. It's gonna be like, he shoots better and their offense go scores six more points. Oh, no. And how unbelievable of an own would it be if Pat Bev comes to the Lakers and then starts over Russell Westbrook. That would be so funny.
Yeah, that would hilarious.
Harry.
Thank God for Darvin Ham, because he actually seems to have, like, they seem to really like him.
Mm-hmm.
Russ seems to really like him. I'm glad Frank isn't going through this. But he's that's going to be enough. He's been through enough. Yeah. Just go to Vermont or wherever you go and have a nice time by the lake / ocean. I don't know. Geography. Yeah, that's actually a really – that probably will happen.
Wow.
Well, and we'll be here to
only time will
it.
Tell. Fingers crossed. I'm hoping for a Connecticut Sun run, and therefore I hope the Sun win. So that's just a good omen for my future Lakers.
Is that because you're concerned about Vegas losing to Chicago, or you want them to have an easier road?
I thought about that. But I think Vegas beats either of them. I have a Vegas Connecticut final though. That is my prediction. Don't know if that will happen, but
still. When did you make this prediction?
I made it last week. I made a little bracket. It was last week. I didn't put any numbers behind it, like how many games. But after watching last night, I don't know. They were looking a little shaky. But
Dallas is a good team. They can be disruptive. I mean, their defensive statistics are good. And again, my whole rant is not to take away from Connecticut. I think we all want to see them play good basketball at this time of the year. That's the thing. Can they be the best version of themselves? And yet, in all fairness, they've had some injuries, right? Like some things that have kept them from getting there, but they still have enough.
We're rooting for you.
We're rooting for you. And Alyssa Thomas scares me. Yell at people.
Yeah, all of us except me.
Yeah, she's tough. Tough as nails. I wouldn't want to have to put her out of anything to advance because she's going to leave blood on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
That's the perfect way to end this.
Yeah. Alyssa Thomas, leave your blood on the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, LaChyna.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. That was a lot of fun. And thank y'all for, your WNBA support and coverage. We appreciate it.
Of course. Bye.
Bye.